essence of power, penetrating and perfect truth. Dissolve and digress, even in 100,000 myriad problems. Now we can cement through it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
This is the Buddha, this is the Dharma, this is the Sangha. I have, as probably many of us do, my own little set of favorite little koan stories from that I've read somewhere along the line. I think the story that I'm going to talk about today is in Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, a compilation of stories by Paul Reps. And I believe Nyogen Senzaki actually provided the stories, I think. There's an exchange between disciple and master. The disciple asks, "Can I not do it?" Meaning, can I not succeed at this training? And the master said, "No, you can't." Then the disciple said, "Can I do it? Can I succeed at the training?" And the master replied, "Yes, you can." And of course, this shows that the attitude of the trainee is what is going to determine whether they're successful or not. If one has faith that one can do it, if one has faith in the training, if one has faith in one's teacher, one has faith in oneself, one has faith in the eternal, then one can do it. If one looks down in a willful way, and refuses to look up, refuses to have faith in oneself, faith in the eternal, faith in the trained, faith in the teacher, then one won't succeed. In this exchange between master and disciple, the disciple's doing all the running, and the master is just being a mirror, saying, "Well, if you look down, you won't succeed. If you look up, you will succeed." And it's entirely up to the disciple, as it is up to each of us in our training, whether we will look down or whether we will look up. Of course, I'm not talking about whether we will feel down or feel up. We may feel lousy and still look up. We may be feeling great and look down. We're not talking about feeling. We're talking about the spiritual looking up, looking down. Where looking up is exercising one's capacity for faith, And looking down is refusing to exercise that capacity for faith. It would be nice to be able to offer the assurance that one day we get to the point where this choice no longer exists, that we are just looking up. And it's we can put it on, or it goes on automatic pilot, as it were. There's no more pull to look down. I don't think that that is actually what happens. That certainly isn't what happens in my experience. And River Master never taught that that's what happens. It may be that we get better at recognizing when we're looking down. We get faster at catching it. It may be that we get more certain when we're looking up and more resistant to the pull to look down. But as River Master said so many times, our past karma always can at least potentially act upon us. There's always the potential. And there's plenty of grief and despair in that past karma for each of us. Each of us has our share of people, of beings, inheritance of the karma of beings who have looked down. Each of us in our own life has at times looked down. And what existed in the past can be, in a certain sense, brought to life in the present. Due to what's called the habit energy of karma. This matter of the choice to look up or to look down is a moment-to-moment choice. It's an hour-to-hour, it's a day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year. There are cycles within cycles within cycles. Most of us have, perhaps all of us, I don't know, but I say many of us, have cycles, some of them extending out into years, 5, 7, 10 years or more. In which a certain point in the cycle will go through a long, prolonged period where the pull to look down is very strong and the pull to give up our commitment to training is very strong. Or let's say stronger than it might normally be. In some cases it might be very strong, in others less so. One of my disciples, former monastic disciples, someone who became a monk and then left, when this person told me about their previous life and their pattern, well, they didn't deliberately tell me about the pattern, but when they told me about their previous life, which I noted a pattern of about, it looked like about 7 years of being able to commit to something and then changing. It might be a change in jobs, change in relationships, change in locale. And I made a kind of mental note. It'll be interesting to see how this person does when they've been a monk for that long. And indeed, when that individual had been a monk for that long, they returned to lay life. Watch out for these patterns, whether they be on a moment-to-moment, or an hourly, or daily, or weekly basis, or a longer-term basis. Watch out. Those prolonged spells of spiritual aridity . Those prolonged spells in which we feel the pull of doubt, grief, despondency, externalized longings. Those journeys out into the desert, so to speak, where one feels alone, and perhaps sometimes very confused. Those are times, and that spiritual desert is a place where great merit is made when one holds to what one knows in one's heart is one's path. And when one refuses to look down and to believe the voices that say, you can't do it, you haven't been good enough, you haven't done enough, you haven't accomplished enough, etc., etc. One last thing I want to point out about this exchange between master and disciple. Many people derive more comfort from the assurance, no, you can't do it, than from the yes, you can do it. After all, no, you can't do it means, well, there's no point in making the effort. Now, I admit that this is a very gray and despairing kind of consolation. I don't really wish it on anyone. But many people take this route and take that answer. In other words, many people prefer the no to the yes, because the yes means, you know, the only one standing in your way is you yourself. And that real spiritual change and conversion is possible if one is willing to pay the price and make many hard choices. Another way to put this is the choice of despair is an easier choice, portrays itself as an easier choice than the choice of real faith. And that choice of despair is very, very good at packaging itself in such a way that it's not recognized as despair. I don't suppose many people very few will deliberately choose despair. Although I think there are some people just contrary enough. Sometimes highly intelligent people get themselves very confused by being too clever, too willfully clever. But I doubt there's many people who will knowingly, fully knowingly choose despair. But again, despair is good at packaging itself as what it is not, presenting itself as something other than what it really is. Whereas the choice of faith so often has sharp, hard edges that you simply cannot get around. There is just sheer difficulty. It asks something of you. Sometimes a walk into what seems to be a complete unknown and what may seem to be utterly impossible. Yet in actual fact, you only have to take that journey into the unknown, into the impossible, one step at a time. And it's doable, one step at a time. But my advice for anyone who wishes to take it is to be a person who prefers the yes with all of its pain and difficulty to the no with all of its false assurance. But there is no real refuge in that no, you can't do it. There is utter darkness, blackness of despair. No amount of comfort is worth that degree of spiritual anguish. It's better just to bite the bullet and cope with those hard edges. Of the upward path when one encounters them. And one will be given the help to accept each of them and do something positive with it.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.